Kayla, and today I'm joined by the gorgeous Carly Marie, which I'm very excited because I just got to the end of her book and I'm so excited now. It seems like it's all lined up. So Carly's a businesswoman and a mum, and she's the author of Soul Modes, which if you haven't read it, go and get a copy. I just finished it as an audiobook and it was amazing. And she's also a coach and runs courses for women, isn't it, Carly?
I would say feminine core people.
Yes.
So many women and some men. Mm-hmm. So you don't necessarily have to own a vulva in order to work with me or necessarily even identify as a woman in order to work with me. But it's those people who experience the cyclical feminine energy nature inside them and want to work with that to make magic in their lives.
That's so cool. I love the way you put it that way. It is very magical, I have to say. So I guess we'll just talk a bit about you first and what your life is like. Well, what your life is like now, and also what it was like before Soul Modes and how it's all changed for you, I guess.
Oh gosh, it's like two different types of lives. I was married and I wasn't all that happy, I suppose, in some ways, though I was building this little life for myself that I thought was the life that you're supposed to build for yourself in order to, you know, be considered successful. And then it all sort of came tumbling out from underneath me when I experienced massive heartbreak in my marriage and we separated. And I went on this journey of trying to put myself back together. I had a little girl. I had an almost two-year-old little girl, and I wanted to be able to co-parent. My mum and dad had split when I was two, and they co-parented really, really well together. And they remain really good friends now. And I wanted that, even though I was shattered into a million pieces. And so I went on this kind of journey of figuring myself out. I was a resume writer and career coach. So I was running a semi-successful little business around my little kid and thinking about number two and all of that, but figuring, you know, I wanted to get my marriage a little bit more back on track before we thought about number two. And so marriage thing didn't happen, and I found myself living with my mom. My business was on hold while I put myself back together. And throughout that journey of trying to put myself back together, I found this thing. I started journaling and really walking the talk of the personal development stuff, of really journaling and really meditating and really, you know, seeing different healers and doing the work. And throughout that process, I discovered a pattern within myself. I got really kind of radical with my own self-awareness and being honest about what I wanted and what I needed in any moment and unapologetically giving it to myself. And throughout that, I realized there was a very clear pattern to what I wanted and what I needed in order to feel okay. And I sort of went on a bit of a mission to figure out what the hell was going on. Was it to do with my menstrual cycle? Was it to do with the moon? Was it to do with my diet? Was it to do with who I'd been hanging out with? Like, what was shifting these different kind of energetic states, these different modes that I would be in? And I started to give them nicknames, super mode and wild mode and bear mode and sparkle mode. And I realized they very clearly went in order. And at first I thought it was a menstrual cycle thing, but then I realized that the more I responded to what I needed, that it sped up and it wasn't linked with my menstrual cycle at all. Mm. And so I realized that I'd stumbled upon something that the world didn't appear to be talking about yet. I researched and researched and I couldn't find any studies or any findings or any teachings. You know, I went back through, you know, different sort of cultural teachings and stuff, and I couldn't find anything that lined up with what I was experiencing and what I was very clearly seeing in other women as well. Mm. So basically I did my own research project.
Yeah.
I gave it a name. I wrote a book and the book became a Wall Street Journal bestseller in its first month. And here we are talking about
it. I'm honestly not very surprised after I was listening to it. There's a drive-through bakery in Ballarat and I was listening to, I think it must have been sort of chapter two or three, I can't remember, it was somewhere early. And I was just listening to it going through this drive-through and being like, my God, it's amazing. Because it's like, I think it was just you were describing things that happen in my life, and I was like, oh my gosh, way to be insightful. Tell us a bit more about your research. How did you go about that?
Yeah, so I'm not trained in psychology or any form of science. So I've just kind of, I call myself a rogue, a renegade researcher, really, is that I just get really curious and really inquisitive and ask a lot of people a lot of questions and track what I find. What I ended up doing was putting together a Facebook group of women who I, over a course of 9 months, I taught them what I'd found. This was before I'd written the book. I taught them what I'd found. I taught them what I was doing. So how I was using my super mode energy and how I was using my wild mode energy and how it was being really awesome in my life. And I tracked their, I would sort of ask them, how is this showing up in your relationship? How is this showing up in your business? How is it showing up in your life? And people were saying, I was going to leave my husband at the start of this program and now we're better than ever. And, you know, my business has tripled, I'm so much happier. I love myself so much more. I thought I was depressed. Turns out I wasn't. I was just experiencing this pattern and I was telling myself that it was bad, telling myself that it was wrong. This emotional roller coaster, because the world tells us that an emotional roller coaster is not okay, right? Because we're not taught to be able to be in that tension and that up and down. And so I guess over that period of time, over that 9 months, I collected a lot of their stories, and a lot of their stories is what's in the book.
Yeah.
As well as my own. And I also did a little study called How Women Work, and tested, you know, women who weren't tracking their modes and women who were, and their levels of exhaustion and their levels of satisfaction with their lives and things like that. And it was just really bloody sad. What I talk about in the intro of the book, what was coming through is the percentage of women who said they feel utterly exhausted. And this was before so many of us were in lockdown, right?
Yeah,
like this is like 2018, 2019. And so it was really quite confronting what I was finding, and I went, I need to get this work out into the world. I need to write this book. And so I did. Within about 3 months, I wrote the book. And within a couple of months after that, it was out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cause I think I remember, I feel like it was like, it feels like 100 years ago now, like everything does, that I think I saw you at one of the Morning to Peninsula Mums like nights, and you had your diary or whatever, I think, yeah, which I'm now trying to go and buy. But it was, you know, like an earlier version of the diary that you've now got. And so did that come first, and then it sort of expanded into the whole thing? Yeah, I just always...
Yeah, the diary came first because I hadn't written a book yet and people needed something to start tracking their modes. So I made the diary. I just designed, I had a designer, like I sketched it, had a designer design it and found a local printer to print it within a week or so.
Wow.
And got it out. They ordered 100 copies, sold them. And I, because it's a 90-day diary, so every 3 months I come out with a new design. I'm just about to sell out of my current design, and then it's going on Amazon because the demand for it is global. And trying to print them in Braeside, Victoria, and post them out, sitting at my dining table every night, wrapping up diaries to send out and hand labeling them. I'm like, this needs to be on Amazon, which means it needs to get a redesign because Amazon can only do certain types of binding and it can't come with a ribbon and stuff. So it's in the middle of a redesign at the moment. So watch this space for the diary. But there's a bunch of Soul Modes mentors that have certified that have come through a certification program with me, and the doors are actually open right now for the next round of Soul Mode certification. So a lot of them have created like wall planners and trackers and all different things. You know, some of them work with mothers and some of them work with couples, and they've all created these beautiful, awesome, different products and things. And that's exactly why I created that program, because I'm like, Soul Modes is just applicable in so many ways and so many facets of life for so many people. You know, people studying at uni can have like a Soul Mode study tracker type thing, you know. And so I needed there to be more people than me creating these things for the people of the world to use. There needs to be a Soul Modes fitness program, for instance. You know, there's a dance teacher who's just coming for the next round who's going to create different, you know, dance activities and exercises and practices by mode. You know, in bear mode, movement that feels good in bear mode is very different to movement that feels good in wild mode. Like, we're in four different energetic states in any moment. We move through them all in order, so we can always know which is going to come next, which means our level of self-care can skyrocket. Our level of self-awareness can skyrocket. Our level of our ability to communicate with the people around us, what we need. You know, like, my partner can spot a mile away, she's in bear mode. I know what she needs. She needs me to keep the kids quiet and away from her. She needs me to deliver her a cup of tea and let her read in bed. And like, he, that feels like he's not sitting there going, well, what's wrong with her? He's going, no, she's in bear mode. it's not anything bad. He doesn't make it mean anything bad. I don't make it mean anything bad, but I get to fill my cup in a way that feels apologetic and nourishing. Mm. And before we know it, I'm out of bear mode into super and I'm downstairs washing the floors. And he's like, yeah. Okay, I'm back. Right?
Yeah.
It works out really, really well.
I really got that in the book where you were saying, you know, people can get stuck in one because they're never filling that cup. How did you, I mean, obviously you did this massive research thing. How did you, I mean, how was your partner kind of involved or informed as you went? Because I think a lot of people would be like, that sounds awesome. How do I get my partner on board with, in the same way you just described, where they're like, oh, I know what's going on with you. Let's just get into that frame of mind.
There's a great video I did with Darren actually, where we spoke about the modes and he spoke about it from his perspective in a very, he's a big burly blokey builder. And so he's able to explain it in a way that a lot of very, you know, masculine core beings, let's say, can understand. And that it's not all coming from like feelings and stuff, but it's coming from more like, this is what it looks like when she's in this mode and this is what you need to do in order for your life to be more happy kind of thing. Like, right, happy wife, happy life kind of thing. And so it was a really great chat, and you can search on my Facebook page. In fact, perhaps I'll get you a link for the show notes in case anyone wants to see that. But yeah, I think he was a huge part of it, because this is the thing, is when you're in whatever mode you're in, you're in it, like you're inside of it. It's actually sometimes hard to know which mode you're in, but you can often spot it in someone else and be like, oh, you're in wild mode. Oh, hello there, sort of thing. So he can often tell me which mode I'm in based on what I'm wearing, how fast I'm speaking, the language I'm using. I get sweary in wild mode. And even just my energy, like he can just sense my energy. He's like, you're turning berry. I'm like, no, I'm not. And he's like, yes, you are. And I'm like, 10 minutes later, I'm like, oh, I'm turning berry. He's like, so he's been a huge part of it from day one. In fact, kind of one of the ways it came about, right, was it was something I'd sort of started to see in myself, but I hadn't really, wasn't talking about it very much. Then I got pregnant to him really early on. We just started dating. It was a big surprise. And I got pregnant and I was like, okay, man, all right, we're going to have a real crack at making this relationship work. Like it wasn't really going to be that serious at the start. We'd known each other a long time. We're both going through a separation and a divorce. And we were kind of like having a really good time together and helping each other feel nice and good throughout that process. And I got pregnant, and he's like nearly 20 years older than me. So that was like, whoa, this wasn't planned. He's got grown up kids about my age. So that was, wow. it was an interesting situation. So he's like, wow, man. Okay. So if we're going to like do this, we're going to make this work, we're going to do this baby thing together, then like, let's not bring our crap from our previous marriages into this relationship. Like, let's go, okay, what can we learn from our previous marriages and really like really love each other in a very meaningful way. And because I'm not a fun pregnant person, I get super hormonal and a bit, you know,
it's a rare thing to be a fun pregnant
person. Yeah. Yeah, really? I get really high maintenance. And so my modes got even more, probably more strong when I was pregnant. This is another reason how I knew it wasn't a menstrual cycle thing, because I wasn't having a menstrual cycle. I was pregnant. So I would say to him, okay, so imagine like I'm like a hibernating bear. And this is part of how it got its name. I was like, I'm like a hibernating bear. I'm like a bear in a cave. It's not that I don't love you. It's not that I don't want to talk to you, but I don't want to talk to you. Like, can you just be quiet and hold me and hug me and pat my head and rub my back, but don't ask me questions. And I'm probably not going to do the dishes tonight. Like that kind of thing. Like, I'm a bear in a cave. It doesn't mean I'm mad at you. So I would kind of use the modes to communicate to him what I needed, because I knew I wasn't going to go into another relationship where I didn't communicate my needs. I didn't speak up about what I wanted. I just kind of went along with it to keep the peace. And I'm like, I'm not doing that. So when I was in super mode and I'm just like, I just want to write a list and do all the things. I'm like, just imagine I'm like a superhuman and I'm just zipping around doing all the things. And, you know, I just feel really strong and everything. So that's why I'm not super affectionate right now, is because like I got shit to do, right? Mm. And so he was like, yeah, cool, I'll get out of the way. But then I was shipped into sparkle mode. I'm like, now I'm like a sparkly fairy. I just want to snuggle and I just want to like play and play music and have fun and let's go out and have a picnic. And he's like, cool, the sparkle one I know what to do with. The super one I know what to do with. Like, it just helped him to know that none of what I was doing was about him.
No. Yeah.
It was all about me, my soul, what I needed. And it sounds really self-centered, but to be honest, I think a lot of women could get a hell of a lot more self-centered, and that would actually be a really positive thing. If you think about the word self-centered, it's just like our self is our center. That's where we begin. That's where we start. And if we're solid within the center of ourselves, that benefits everyone else around us.
Yeah, right? I think that's so, yeah, very important from what you've written as well, is like, that's probably why there's so much exhaustion. It's just, well, but I can't put me first because that's totally culturally unacceptable. And then everyone around you is crap as well. And you're like, why? It makes so much sense. And I have a question about ISO. How's soul modes been evolving in ISO?
Well, it's certainly spread because a lot of people are reading more books. Yeah. A lot of people, what I've found, have been gifting this book to friends while in lockdown. Because like they know of a friend who's maybe finding it hard and is experiencing the roller coaster. And so they're ordering a book from me and having it sent to them. Because when you order it from me, you can order it from Amazon or Audible. But when you order it from me, I can write a personalized note in it for you. Mm. And so I've been sending, you know, notes from people to other people, you know, basically telling them that they're magic and all that.
Oh, that's good.
And so it's spread because a lot of people are thinking about other people and wanting to reach out and help them. And so there's that. But also the other thing that I've noticed is that our modes have sped up. So when I first wrote the book, the version you've got, I say that you're likely shifting every couple of days. Like you're likely spending a couple of days in each mode. The new version that's coming out with the new publisher. So it's been picked up by a New York publisher and it'll be out in bookstores. So I self-published and now it's with a publisher. And it comes out early next year in time for International Women's Day. And so in bookstores and stuff with the new cover and whatever, it's not changing much, just a little bit. And so in that version, I've made an update and I've basically said that you're quite possibly going through several modes in a day. Because what I've found since COVID is that we're shifting more quickly. And I think there's a couple of reasons for that. I think that people are, it's been more like Groundhog Day, right? Like we're at home. We've got a little bit more time to think about how we're feeling, and we're kind of needing to take better care of ourselves. Like we've got kids at home doing remote learning or whatever, depending where you are in the world, different people's situations are different, but everybody's got that little bit more time where they're not running off to basketball training and football training and this and that and knitting group and book club. They're kind of, we're at home a lot more. So we're not, when you're busy doing all the things, it's easy to forget to check in with yourself. How am I feeling? Where are my energy levels at? What do I need? Do I need a drink of water? Do I need to stretch my shoulders out? Like, whereas when we're at home, it's that more awareness of our energetic state, which for some people is really, really hard because they busy themselves to distract themselves from their energetic state they're in that they're not enjoying particularly much. So I think a lot more people have been able to track their modes more easily because there's less distractions in life. They're at home. But also it's easier to fill those cups. So people are shifting more quickly. I go through four modes in a day, most days. And a lot of people who have read the book and put those learnings into their life are the same. They're going through more than one mode in a day, going through several. Yeah. We've got a Facebook group for people that have read the book, a bit like a sort of book club, people who are reading it or have read it. And a lot of them are saying that their cycle has sped up a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes total sense. So with the book, you said earlier you were, before all this magic, you were running your own little, business and things, but did you always want to write? Was writing always really part of who you are, I suppose?
I think school stamped it out of me because writing became like work, hard work, essays and stuff. So I forgot that I enjoyed writing until I started a blog when I was a new mum about 7 years ago. Started a blog called More Than Mum about my journey of starting my little business, kind of sharing my journey and bringing other mums together who were doing similar things. And through that, I discovered my love for writing again. And I was like nearly 30. Mm. So it wasn't until my 30s that I realized I liked writing. And then I actually started a uni degree just before I got pregnant with my second, when I started dating a new man and all that and putting myself back together. And I went, I think I want to write. I realized how powerful writing was for my healing. I was journaling my way through the whole thing and not publicly blogging about it, but a little bit. Mm-hmm. And so I started a writing degree, which is currently on hold because then I had another baby and that got put on hold. But I'll probably go back at some point. But through that was when I realized that I had a real talent as a writer. But the thing is, to write an amazing book, you actually don't have to be an incredible writer. You've just got to let the message pour out of you. I think the reason why my book is easy to read, and I'm about a third of the way through my second book now, through writing it, is that I just write how I would speak. It's nice, short sentences. It's just how I would talk.
Yeah.
It's not a piece of literary genius, but I think that people connect with my style of writing because I started as a blogger, so it's a little bit blog vibe. So I think that a lot of people don't write their book because they think that they have to be Stephen King, and I don't think that's the case at all.
No.
I think that you can pour it out from your heart. As long as you can string a sentence together, you can write a great book.
Yeah. Yeah, it sort of comes from a place of honesty, I suppose, rather than from, like literary genius, as you say.
Yeah.
So obviously you've done amazing things as a businesswoman. What does coaching look like with you? Because that's something else that you do as well.
Yeah, so lots of group coaching. I do have one-on-one clients, but to make it accessible to more people, I have some group coaching offerings as well. So I have lots of online courses. So for Soul Modes, there's three options, really. You can do Soul Modes Magic, which is an online self-guided, so kind of like coach yourself through the process, which is like videos and activities. Then there's Sorceress, which is an online live group coaching program, which you can come in anytime and access the recordings from the previous round. And then there's Soul Modes Mentor Certification, which is a live program as well. But coaching with me, there's a couple of options. You can book one single session or you can come into ongoing monthly mentoring. And most of the people I coach have got, you know, a business of some sort that they want to grow and help to use this information and use their understanding of themselves to grow their business. I run a pretty successful online business. And purely organically, and a lot of people want to come and learn that from me, how I do it organically without ads and all that. There are some offerings for business side of things as well, so that's if you want to apply the Soul Modes context and then all the other things that I teach as well, like, you know, creating following organically and all that sort of stuff. You can come into the Mad Mastermind, which is a really cool, it's just a monthly payment to be inside of a Facebook group, which has like 20 of my short courses in there, as well as ongoing group coaching. So we do group Zoom calls and stuff, and we do online retreats in there and some really cool stuff. So,
and do you find working in a group is the sort of the best way to, I guess, compile all these ideas and build and make business connections? Is that?
Yeah. So the Mad Mastermind is incredible for networking because, you know, in a lot of the free groups that you're in, it can feel a bit like you're just lost in a sea of people trying to sell stuff. Whereas if you're in a paid group like that, it can feel that little bit more intimate, you know, and you can sort of know the people, you know, that little bit more. But yeah, I love group programs. I do, partly because it's more accessible to people. I mean, it's cost thousands of dollars to work with me one-on-one, but it costs hundreds to come into a group program, you know, like it's more accessible to more people, and I'm here to make as much impact with as many people as I can. So if I only have a one-on-one coaching practice, there's only so many people I can help.
Yeah.
Whereas if I write books, have online courses that have unlimited number of people that can come into them, I can help more people. But then there's the people who are like, yeah, I'm at a point where I'm willing to pay to work with you one-on-one because I understand the power of that. But often like people have got to work their way up to being ready for that. Right.
Yeah.
So I love group programs. Yeah, I really do. And I love that because I don't spend much time in the back end tinkering around with Facebook ads and sales funnels and online platforms and stuff. All my stuff's run inside of Facebook. So I don't have all of that stuff, which means I can spend a lot of time inside my programs delivering value. I don't need to charge thousands of dollars for my courses because I'm not spending hundreds to market it to you.
Yeah.
So I can sell it at a more affordable price. And then I blow their minds inside the programs, which means word of mouth becomes my biggest sales tool because people are out there going, oh my God, I just did this course by this chick, Carly Marie. You've got to look her up. She's incredible. Like literally that's my business model. And it makes me tens of thousands of dollars every week.
Yeah.
Without spending time tinkering. I don't want to tinker. I want to create, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And like, I think it's kind of a really common, I guess, phenomenon for women in business to kind of downplay what they can do and undercharge, shall we say. And is that something you've had to work through yourself, or because you're clearly sort of into a place now where you really value what you have to offer. So yeah, how did that happen for you?
One of the things I've learned is that we have to usually believe something before the evidence of it shows up. So a lot of people are walking around going, they're putting the cart before the horse, right? They're going, oh, I need to see the evidence of something before I will believe that it's true. So I need the world to tell me I'm good at what I do before I will behave like someone who's good at what they do, right? So you got to do it the other way around. You got to go, I'm going to decide that I'm really good at what I do and I'm going to behave accordingly. And then the evidence of that will show up. But it's not about like bravado and look at me, look how great I am and la, 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 but not believe it on the inside and just be dying on the inside, right? Like that's, if we're living out of alignment, out of authenticity, out of integrity, then people feel that and they won't. I mean, I don't get refund requests because the only people who come into my programs are the people who really, really want to be there and know exactly what it's going to be like because they've done a heap of my free content, right? So I think that's been my biggest lesson, is that anytime I put my prices up for my coaching or anytime I launch a new thing that feels like a big, bold move, it's like I've got to get my energy behind that decision. I can't expect the internet to tell me I'm worthy of launching. I launched something called Icon recently. It was this program, 111-day program on becoming an icon in your field. And when the idea of the word icon downloaded into my mind, like, it's just like the universe went, hey, Carly, you're going to run something called Icon. And I was like, oh, really? That sounds like an audacious name. Who do I think I am? Right. And I have that little moment of who do I think I am? Totally. I have those moments. But then I'm just like, well, all right, let me get my energy behind this so then I can come out to the world and go, Icon, it's happening. I'm so behind it. Then the people feel my energy that I'm so behind it. They're like, I want in. The program sold out within a couple of days. Right. So, and they always do generally because I have the belief that they always do. I'm like, my programs sell out. That's what happens. So that's where my energy is at. So then therefore the evidence of that shows up. So everybody, not everybody, lots of people are putting the cart before the horse and going, show me the evidence, then I'll believe it. They wake up in the morning, they pick up the phone and they go, hey, internet, tell me I'm worthy. How many clicks, how many likes, how many comments, how many people love me? Has nobody said anything nasty? People wake up in the morning and go, let me check the internet and make sure no one said anything nasty to me. Like, right? Yeah. It's like, I don't pick up my phone in the morning and go, hey, internet, tell me I'm worthy. I pick up my journal and my pen and I write down how goddamn worthy I am of having everything that I desire. I'm like, good morning, you glorious goddess, divine creation, here to change the world. Like literally my journal is full of that every morning. That's how I greet myself, like the goddess that I am, because if that's what I believe that I am, then that's the evidence that will show up for me in the world. That's how I'll be treated. We show the world how we get to be treated by how we treat and love ourselves.
Wow. That's like
so simple.
Yeah, so it is amazing. But do you feel like you're kind of counterculture as there is, like, have you had to really break through something for that? Because that's like, because I think you're right. Like, I think everybody, like, that's very common. Just like, I'm looking to see how many likes I got. Hopefully that was a successful post or whatever.
But it's... some of my most favorite posts haven't got much many likes on it at all. And I'm like, that's fine. It's still a piece of art to me, right? Like, you can make a piece of art and everyone think it's a load of rubbish. Like, it still won't be everyone who thinks a load of rubbish. There'll be some people who think it's exquisite, right? Like, it all comes down to everyone's got their own lens that they're looking at it through. So do I feel counterculture? I feel like a pioneer a bit. I feel like I'm presenting a new paradigm, a new way of thinking. And that's just what I feel like I'm here to do. You know, I feel like everything that's happened in my life, the heartbreak, the loss, the whatever, and I don't think you have to have a sob story in order to be a success. I don't think that's, I'm not relying on that story in order to make me a success, right? But it's like, I look back at everything that's happened, I'm like, all of it was giving me tools, including the awesome stuff that happened. All of it was giving me tools to be the person that I'm here to be now. So continually tuning into, what do I desire? What do I want? Like, the universe, God, angels, your soul, whatever it is that you believe in, right? The thing that we can sort of feel but can't see. Like, I use the word the universe, let's just use that. But I'm like, the universe gets me to do what I'm here to do by making me want stuff. Yeah. Like I wanted to live by the water. And I'm sitting here now looking out at this beautiful like lake system that I live on that flows out to the ocean. I'm sitting here looking out at the water. For about a year and a half, I had this desire, I'm going to live on the water. Now, I didn't make anywhere near enough money to live on any body of water unless it was a caravan by a river, right? Like at that point, and I remember having this knowing coming over me like, yes, I want to live by the water. I'm willing to accept that I'm worthy of that and that I'm capable of creating it. Even though I had no evidence, I was just willing to believe it. And as soon as I felt that willingness drop in, these words came into my mind, well, then you'd better write a bestseller. Mm. And I wrote the book and I live on the water.
Bestseller. Yeah. Wow. Jeez. Mm. Oh, I'm sure like everybody listening is just getting like, oh, cause I am. I'm just getting my breath back now after the amazingness. So obviously you work, as you said, with feminine core people. What is it that makes, I guess, that, your passion, like I mean, you have a lot of knowledge around business and other things, but what do you suppose makes it women and people who identify as women or feminine core really is something you really love and really moves you?
Because the whole coaching industry is built on masculine success measures and things that work for the masculine. Mm. So when I was in the top 10 on Amazon for the self-help section, so Amazon bestsellers come out before Wall Street Journal or anything else. So that was the first, when I was like, that was the first most exciting thing was on Amazon. I looked at the top 10 authors in the US. I was one of two women. And the dudes were all these real, like, alpha male, like, hardcore masculine, like your Tony Robbins vibes, right? Mm. And I was like, this is so bloody interesting. Isn't it interesting that there are so many women who are completely exhausted, who are telling ourselves all sorts of stories that we are inconsistent, that we are flaky, that we have to hustle, which actually doesn't really work for our energy system. So when I was really working with my modes, my business boomed. Right? Like I unapologetically work with my modes. I don't follow any of the rules. None of the rules about business, none of the rules about hustling, none of the rules about you've got to have a routine and a system and lots of structure and all of this stuff. For the feminine, that a lot of that stuff is actually quite stifling. We need a little bit of it. I mean, that's why super mode exists, because in super mode is when we feel drawn to do that stuff. So we have beautiful masculine energy and it supports us so divinely. But when we spend the rest of our modes telling ourselves that that's how we should be, it's draining our energy. It's like swimming against the tide instead of with it. So I just got really passionate about seeing how, you know, all these stories and all these hardcore alpha male coaches and influencers out there telling everybody how they should be doing life, when half of those people are feminine core beings who actually don't thrive in that environment. It's not set up. The 9-to-5 work environment doesn't work for feminine core beings. You know, like, let us work just when we're in super mode and wild mode, and let us chill in the others and watch us have 10 times the productivity. Yeah. You know, if we wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning, we're in super mode, we'll do better work then than what we would at 3 o'clock in the afternoon when we're in bear mode and we're sitting there going, I hate this. Like this, the life satisfaction is so different. So this is, I guess that's why, because I want to change the whole industry, because it's not working for a lot of people. It's making a lot of people a hell of a lot of money, but it's also making a hell of a lot of people really miserable and really tired and disappointed that they haven't gotten the results that were promised to them.
Yeah.
Because the system that was sold to them doesn't fit them.
No. And I have to say that the term hustle has always grated on me. And mm-hmm. I know my husband ran a business where they posted a lot on Instagram about the hustle. And I'd be like, ugh, mm-hmm. I can't imagine. I don't want to do that. Like, it didn't feel, it's weird how just the terminology feels wrong somehow. So,
It's masculine vibes, right? Like in super mode, I get it. I still don't love it. But in super mode, I get it. I'm like, yeah, routine. Yeah. Structure, hustle. Yeah. I'm going to be the best of the best. I'm going to be top of my game. Like I can feel those vibes and get into those vibes and I can ride that wave, which is why when we're in super mode, we're often, you know, we'll sign up for those programs, you know, that's it. I'm going to get up at 5 a.m. every day and take an ice cold shower. That's what I'm going to do. And I'm like, when you're in bear mode, that's going to feel like torture. It's not nourishing. That's not filling any cup.
No. No, I don't. Yeah, I totally get that. The people who have the ice cold shower in the morning, and I'm just like, oh, no. I can see. I agree. I think I can see how that works in a certain mode or mindset or
mode. That stuff feels good. It's like, yeah, I'm gonna slay the dragon and climb the mountain and all of that, right?
Yeah.
Like it feels, their inner masculine vibe. Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's not like feminine is good and masculine is bad. Not at all. It's like, let's just have awareness about the fact that we're not always in masculine energy and we have different feminine frequencies. And a bear mode feminine frequency is very different to a sparkle mode feminine frequency. And that if we work with that energy, sparkle mode is incredible for manifestation. It's incredible. If you want to work with the law of attraction and magnetism and you want to get into that really high vibe state of like, oh my God, yes, I can feel the feelings of having the things that I want and I can really connect with desire and all of that. Like in sparkle mode, that's incredible. Every one of the modes has its own genius frequency, right? Wild mode is our visionary genius. Bear mode is our spiritual genius. Super mode is our sort of like logical genius, right? We can really see how things work and the moving parts and how they go together and sequences. In sparkle mode, that's our vibrational genius. So we can really work with the energy of vibration. We can really call in the things that we desire. We can read other people's energy much more easily. It's like relational genius almost, you know, like we can really connect with people. We're very influential in that mode in a very beautiful feminine way. Almost like it's a seductive energy and in a really good way. And so you can access with working through your modes, not only can you probably manage your mental health better, manage your energy better, you know, deepen your self-care, love yourself more, have more level of self-awareness. But if you want to go really like further with this work, like what I do with my one-on-one clients and in some of my programs, you can actually access your genius frequencies, all of them, because the education system probably told you you've only got one area of genius. Right? Like I finished high school going, yeah, you're good at the academic things, but you're not good at anything else. You're not sporty. You're not performing artsy. You're not that creative, all that, right? You're in this box. Well, BS, like we've all got lots of different areas of genius. And if we work with our modes, we can access them in ways that we never could before.
Yeah. Wow. So do you find, so you would just, you wouldn't have to track your modes anymore. You just know these days or does it?
I lose them sometimes. Like someone can say which mode you're in now. I'm like, I don't know. Right now I think I'm probably in super based on the fact that I was working out in activewear right before this. And because I'm speaking quite fast. So I can usually tell by my handwriting, by how fast I'm speaking or how loud. So in wild mode, I talk fast, but I also talk loud and my hands move a lot and I swear. In super mode, I'm sitting quite still. I'm not moving my hands around a lot. But I'm sort of able to explain things quite eloquently and I'm speaking quite clearly and quite fast. In bear mode, I would be a lot more speaking more slowly and probably a little bit more softly. And I would be thinking more about what I'm saying, you know, like it would be more that vibe. Sparkle mode would be like, oh my God, I just love this so much. This is so fun. How are you? Like, it would just be a different vibe. So I can usually tell by that, by what I'm wearing. But honestly, it gets to a point where it actually doesn't matter which mode you're in, because what happens is it starts to become part of your personality to just work with your own energetic state and to allow it and to not make it mean anything. So it's not like I go, oh, super mode's coming, so this afternoon I'll do this. Now I've reached a point where I'm like, I feel like doing admin, so I'm going to do admin. Or I feel like taking a bath, so I'm going to take a bath. It's almost like all day I just do next what turns me on the most.
Yeah.
Or it feels the most good, right? So it gets to a point if you work with your modes that you actually don't even, it becomes irrelevant which mode you're in. But it's almost like you've got to discover the modes as the gateway drug into knowing and loving yourself and accessing your genius and living life in a whole different way. And then it's like, nah, this is just how I live now. This is just how I am now. And therefore all these awesome results show up in my life as a result, because I'm operating from like my highest feminine frequency in any moment.
Well, look, I'll start to wrap up, but thank you so much for coming and joining us and sharing all your amazing sort of wisdom and passion. But where can we find you and what's the best places to seek you out and find more information and all the rest of it?
So I do some pretty good stuff on my podcast, which is called Go Hack Yourself. Mm. So you search that on your podcast app, but otherwise come find me on the socials. Facebook and Instagram is where I'm most active. So just search Carly Marie. So there's two sets of pages. There's Carly Marie and then there's Soul Moods by Carly Marie.
Yeah.
So find me on both. And there's also a free Facebook group called Soul Moods with Carly Marie as well.
Oh, cool. All right. Well, I feel like everyone's just going to go now at the end. Just breathe it in. Thank you so much again. And I'm guessing you'll have a million people buying your book again.
I hope so. A million would be nice.
A million would be good. I wouldn't be surprised. There's got to be at least a million women who could really use it.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.